I'll make my way to Vegas and then, yeah, go to the game, get amongst it all, have a slap.
What's ever slap?
Have
TV.
A slap.
I went to Vegas to retire, but I was having that much fun. I forgot to retire.
It was a bit different for me because I actually didn't get to play.
Oh. Why not?
I was 18th man.
Right.
And I was spewing.
He's digging through his sis. He's not interested in the rehab protocols.
I'm trying to do an interview here.
This is an Italian approach to soccer.
Look at how rattled they are. That guy looks like he's about to cry.
I ran into Benji Marshall, and great man. And he told me that
one of the greats,
Connor, in his lounge in his underpants. Is that true, Connor?
Oh no. Why would you bring this up?
This sauna.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm silky, mate. Get
it. I'm wearing some bloody undies.
I can hardly read because I've just got sweat pouring into my eyes.
So, you know, I've got a spatula. I've just got to climb my balls off my leg. It's like a bat wing.
Can you do the introduction?
Nah, I've decided. You do it. You're good. I'd hate that shit.
You do the introduction.
I'm here to just say once.
I've never done the introduction.
Yeah, it's not.
It's way above the.
Yeah.
What are you?
We don't do that shit. That's more you thing.
Yeah. Welcome to Sports Cafe, and we've got Taylor Montoya, Mark Ellis, and Connor Watson with us tonight. How's that?
It was probably a bit over the top.
This afternoon as well.
Well, we don't know when people are watching it.
Met a couple of guys down in Coogee.
Yeah.
Been asking about you. They actually want to know whether he's actually, as they said, a salt and pepper. I said, well, you always eat salt and pepper? They said, no, a grinder.
Oh.
And I said, well, I'm pretty sure he's both. How's it going for you, mate? Are you?
Well, you know what was interesting is I went on to have a look to see what you'd done, and I did a search, and then put you on.
Well, that's great.
Grinder.
Yeah, no problem.
Can we see the profile?
Politely decline.
Yeah. And you know what's worse? Not only you've turned all these people against me.
No, it's a natural thing.
Like I was at the Roosters launch, you know, it's just showing kind of some support, you know, as a mate would do. And what does he do? He films me eating hors d'oeuvres.
Gorging.
It was the fact that every plate that come past, you sampled it. I was in a completely different section. I look over, I see Rick perched up there, beer in hand, and then I just thought, I'll keep an eye on this bloke. Doesn't know too many people in the room. And then every time a dish come past, wait there.
And I think the repercussions, I mean, if we can zoom in just slightly, you're sweating profusely. I think an indication that maybe your diet's not up to scratch, and you know, maybe the heart's working a bit harder than it ought.
Let's have a look at one of these clips that.
Let's have a look at how much sweat's on your head.
Like this is my philosophy: is that when you're at one of these functions.
Oh, geez, pick your nose too.
Yeah. No, I was just scratching it.
What? You can't do that, mate. It's a black tie.
What?
Well, you can't, you know, touch your face and then go into a communal plate. That's not.
I have here we go. Look, this is probably a bit clearer. I have a philosophy which is whenever something comes past you, you must always sample from it because you don't know whether that's the last plate to come out.
Are you starving? Like, are you not?
Always.
Oh, okay.
Have you not met me? Yeah.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. You never know where the food's coming out and you don't know where your last invite is coming from as well.
And like when you go to a function like that, you know, I'm being pretty famous. I get invited to a lot of functions. And
that's what he should be doing. You know, gorging and then you're looking like the guy in front of you there, the one fella in the front.
Anyway, that's enough about me. Mate, I can't believe it. Like what? You've just turned on the attack.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Like a nice guy and all that sort of stuff. Vegas, baby. It's Vegas week. You know, you're off to Vegas.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
You're going there to support crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a trip I'll support you on.
Yeah, exactly. Bringing my parents too so they can support my children. What am I going to do? Well,
bringing your parents to support the children.
So yes, because I'm Vegas, bringing children.
And you bring your folks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're off
three
to
generations
do
of support right there.
Yeah, okay. So what's the plan in Vegas?
So we're going to LA for a few days first. because I'm a big fan of reality TV, so I want to check out where Vanderpump Rules was filmed, Beverly Hills, all that. And why not? You know, I'm over there. And then I'll make my way to Vegas and then, yeah, go to the game, get amongst it all, have a slap, see if I come out the winner.
Sure.
What's there but slap?
Have a slap.
Can we talk about the footy? I mean, I was talking about the Vegas in terms of you've been to Vegas.
We're having a bit more fun talking.
Yeah,
you can give.
You always got to bring the vibe down.
Eh? Oh, okay, back to sports.
Yeah,
you've been to Vegas. You've done the trip. Can you give any advice?
I
mean, your trip was probably different to what.
I think so. Just a bit different.
Yeah. Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I don't know. I've done it before, so.
Never got to do it. For me, it was a bit different for me because I actually didn't get to play.
Oh.
Why not?
I was the 18th man.
Right.
And I was spewing because obviously that I wasn't playing. But then because I was 18th man, I couldn't like enjoy myself too much just in case someone went down, you know. So the guys who didn't actually get to play and that got to enjoy themselves where.
You were right in the middle.
I was like locked in still.
You got to play the odds, don't you? You're in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know. They'll be right.
I should have played the odds. I should have because everyone come through unscathed. But we had a good night after. Yeah, it was great. It's pretty cool. The whole thing, like you go into Old Vegas, I think they call it. And that's kind of where they do the like the opening and
that's where the fans are.
All the teams out and do this big fan thing, and it's like nothing you've ever seen before. I think just coming from here in Australia and then just over there, the NRL do a good job, but just the way the Americans do things is so much just bigger and brighter.
So I went the first year with my beloved Broncos. I believe that was more hype that first year as well. First NRL game in Vegas and whatnot, and Peter Vallandis saying that wants to grow the game a bit, and they want sport in Australia. I think something came out the other day again that the viewership and the numbers, say that. I, from memory, went to Vegas to retire, but I was having that much fun. I forgot to retire, and I'm still going now.
We've got a group of university mates, and every 2 years we sort of go somewhere in the world and we meet from all over the place. And
I think we caught up actually when you're in Argentina last year.
He doesn't remember that. And the only trip that I haven't gone on was Vegas. You know, I think I was showing my maturity.
Yeah.
I just went, nah, I'm going to die there.
Yeah.
I don't trust myself.
Yeah, I don't think
you should. Have you ever been?
Yeah, I've been. I went with him.
And yeah.
So, you know, once is enough.
And we can't remember what happened. One of the big news items this week has been, is it Danica Mason?
Mm-hmm.
She'd had a few drinks and then she had to do a live cross and suddenly started talking about iguanas, which I thought was brilliant. But she caught quite a bit of flack.
A few drinks? And you talk about iguanas?
Yeah, no, it was a few drinks.
A few drinks of what? Like,
you know, mushroom? Wine. No.
Yeah, my go-to wouldn't be talking about iguanas drink.
I reckon you're going to talk about iguanas if you've been playing a little trouble.
She might have been asked a question about iguanas. I wasn't watching. I just saw the clip.
Okay, fair see.
And
it's not good research then, is it, Rich, to bring it to the show?
Hey?
I need a producer of this as well. Shouldn't we have prep sheets as well? These are just 3 words per line. I was a producer and I did way more than this, but anyways, keep going.
Yeah.
Well, you don't read them anyway.
I would if they were done properly.
Yeah. Here.
Anyway, what do you think about Danica getting all that flack?
I think people need to get a life. I'm not that serious, right?
I'm offended by anyone drinking on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare she?
Literally.
Yeah. Look, she does a great job. I'm a big fan of Danica. What she does in the rugby league and in the news space is pretty cool and works long hours. So it feels like she's entitled to enjoy herself.
It's like a streaker in a game of footy, right? Like who ever goes, oh, boo, tut, stop that.
Yeah.
If you see somebody who's pickled doing the news, you know, a reputed reporter, then you'd be going, you fucking beauty, she's one of us, I reckon. Nobody's going to be going, oh, shame on you and writing into the broadcasting standards.
Well, some people do.
Yeah, well, get a life.
Yes, seriously. She's on a work trip. Right? Think about all the work trips we've all been on and what happens. That's harmless.
Yeah, you news watcher. You were there when she was pissed on TV. You saw it.
I know you've done it, and I did it when I was working in the news, and they crossed live to me. I was here in Australia, but I just didn't talk. They crossed, and they were now going live to a reporter with the All Black camp, Rick Sleetso, and
what'd you do?
He just had the bug just in the jar.
I just made out that there was a problem.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't hear that one. Yeah.
I knew the minute I opened my mouth, I was in trouble. And they went, "We appear to be having a problem. Rick, can you hear us?" And I was like, and then they just went back.
Bro, we need to see this clip.
Yeah, no.
Did they have it?
Oh, somewhere, yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my finest hour.
To see a bit of personality, but.
Well, what do you have a few drinks with your mates for? To cut loose and spin some bullshit and say things that you wouldn't normally say and have a bit of a cackle and, you know, a bit of a laugh. Mm. Just stop being so bloody precious.
Right, now we're going to go live-ish to an interview that Connor's done.
Hey guys, I'm here with Jesse Hogan from the GWS Giants, the AFL team, based out at Western Sydney. Jesse, what's happening, mate?
Yeah, not probably similar to you, just getting ready for the season. Round one's around the corner for us, or round zero, what we call in the AFL. But yeah, just prepping for that. But yeah, everything's going well.
Yeah, cool. And then last week, you had a run around, played in the State of Origin for Perth, or for Western Australia, yeah. I should say. How was the whole week? Was it a good experience? And then congratulations as well. Best player on the ground for Western Australia.
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one because the last time it was done for us between Origin in AFL was done in, 1997. So I think it's almost 20, 25 years, almost 30 years. So I've been in New South Wales for the last 5 years and I've seen what it means, how much it means to New South Wales and Queensland, and to see how far it is. And I went to my first one probably 2 years ago when Reece Walsh got poleaxed by Joey in the first 30 seconds. So to see that and see how much it meant to both states, and then to be able to put the Black Swan, that's what it is, I'm not sure if it's been WA, but
yep.
The Black Swan's the West Australians, and to chuck that back on, I mean, we haven't been able to be able to wear that or represent our states since we were under 16s, 18s. So to go back and to play against the Vics in the Big V, we consider them a bit arrogant. You know, they're the preppy ones, but we did get done, but we probably have a fight. But to go over there and to kind of represent our state again was awesome. And hopefully it's here to stay.
Yep.
Like I said, watching what New South Wales and Queensland do in the NRL and how much it means to you boys and both states is hopefully something that we continue to grow at AFL level. But yeah, to be able to represent it again was an unreal experience.
And did it feel like that? Was there the intensity? Because it's the first game of the year for a lot of guys. Mm. But was there that intensity that you do see in a rugby league State of Origin game?
That was the big question going in. Is it going to be an exhibition match? A lot of the coaches and stuff were a bit worried about it. But I think the spectacle we put on, I think both teams scored over 100 points. But there was plenty of fights, plenty of things going on, and I mean, it did have that feel. It probably doesn't have the legs that the NRL Origin has. I mean, that's probably New South Wales and Queensland's most exciting event of the whole year. So
it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not there yet. So hopefully this is a bit of a launch pad to kind of get into that. But to be involved in the first one and how exciting that was, was pretty cool. But yeah, look, we're not sure how it'll work in the future. We got a few other states that want to get involved, but yeah, honestly, it was a surreal experience to go out there and represent the Black Swan again.
Nice, mate. And first game back from the foot, is that right?
It was, yeah. So I came almost like a week before. I almost pulled out. I was talking to my physio. I was pretty underdone. I'd probably only done like 2 weeks of proper training, and I probably shouldn't have played, but the chance to represent your state was, you know, it was too surreal for me. Yeah, I'm from West Australia, obviously, clearly, so I think I had like 40, 50 tickets reserved. Everyone was ready to go, so I was probably underdone, and, you know, I went out there and I played okay, so it worked out for the best, but it was a nerve-wracking couple of weeks. I mean, I had the foot surgery at the end of the year, and
what did you do?
I just had some bone spurs cut off, so I won't bore you with the details, but had some foot surgery, but just the nerves around it, so it took a while. But he's not interested in the rehab rehab protocols.
We're trying to do an interview here and you're jumping in.
The pack's gone. Yeah. This is a full pack.
We actually haven't had a chip yet.
But I was underdone, and I was this close to pulling the pin and not playing. But the chance to put on the put on the jersey and represent the state and to play with that group and to play with the, pretty much the best, you know, kind of 48 players in the competition was probably too good to pass up. So yeah.
Well, it's cool to hear like how much it means to you. I know there's a lot of talk in the media about it sort of being an exhibition game and stuff, but there's obviously that passion there. I can hear it in your voice. And then, you know, for you to go in underdone and to play like that, like maybe you should do that every year.
I started telling my coach, man, he puts a lot of time into pre-season. I go, you know, like you can put all these Ks in, but you got to know how to play the game. So, and my role, key forward at AFL level, you don't run as much as the mids and the wings. So, it wasn't an ideal prep, but the fact that I went out there and played, you know, pretty well and got the Grand Moss medal was a pretty surreal experience. But, still a lot of hard work to be done. But, yeah, no, it was a surreal experience, and hopefully it's something that we can grow into the future and do it for the next 50 years.
Yeah, well done, bro. And this year, looking forward for the Giants. As you know, man, like I bleed red, but I've got a soft spot.
You don't bleed
for
it.
I like you, bro.
You don't bleed it, mate. You don't bleed it. You got Witters, myself, Lockie Whitfield, myself. Like, come on, there's orange coming out. Just because you work near each other doesn't mean you have to go for them. But
I do like you, boys. How are you feeling for the Giants this year? And then on a personal level, like, is there anything that you're sort of aiming for yourself?
Yeah, the Giants. Look, we're always around. In the last 4 or 5 years, we've you know, we've made finals, so we're there or thereabouts, but we just haven't been able to quite get to that grand final. We've played in the prelim, and then we played in the elimination finals. We've been close. We lost by a point to Collingwood in 2023 to get us to a flag, but couldn't quite get there. So, look, our list is extremely good. We're extremely well coached. We've got the talent. We've got it all there. So, should be another exciting year for us, and can't wait to see it a few games and have that membership, mate. Get you a deal, man. Get you a little cheap deal, man. You look better in orange than red.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. You just mentioned then that when you sort of were over in Perth, you know, your career, you nearly called it career. So the Giants gave you one more chance, and then what? 2 years later, you go and win the most goals in the competition.
Yeah, it's a hard one to reflect on in season. Like, it's an individual accolade, and obviously, you know, you play for team success. You know, you want to be playing the last game of the year, holding up the premiership. So, you know, but for me personally, and where I was at with footy and my enjoyment, I'd completely lost passion for the game. It was something that I found as work. It was a bit of a grind, and I think the second you don't enjoy the grind, as you know, like at that highest level, you're not going to get the best out of yourself, and the system will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah.
So coming over here, having a fresh start, and then being able to repay the faith that the Giants paid to me and to win the Coleman was something that was really special to me. And, you know, obviously I still want to win that flag, that elusive flag, that first one for the Giants. But it was a really cool experience for me.
Do you know, hold on. So after this, you're going to Tropfest?
Yeah, Tropfest.
And you're going to catch up with Margot Robbie?
Apparently. Yeah. We'll see. Now, I'm going on behalf of the NRL, I think. So.
Oh, is it a formal introduction?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think there's like it's pretty, I don't know if you've seen the judges, who else is going. Margot's the head judge. You got James Cameron, director of like the Avatar. Titanic.
Yep.
Taron Egerton, main actor in The Kingsman, Elton John. There's like a fair crew there, and apparently part of me going is there's like a Roosters versus South scene in one of the short films, and the NRL needed someone to go, and they're going to like ask me a question, and then I've got to get a photo with the judging panel after. So yeah,
pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's a little bit more exciting than hanging out with us.
Yeah, well, remember when I got to interview Elle Macpherson?
Really?
Yeah, the body. But back when, you know, she was pretty, you know, she was
back when you were
prime than I wasn't. Than I wasn't. Yeah, I'll put it that way. I was so excited. Had probably a good 15 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you make quite the impression?
Which is long for you.
Mate, I took her a crayfish.
Oh.
And as kohara, as a gesture of goodwill.
Oh, lovely.
And a couple of beers.
Yeah, and a couple of
coals. Is she as tall as they make it out to be?
Oh, we were lying down the whole time. I mean, it was sitting down.
Yeah, weird.
If anyone could, Bart, but you.
Oh, God loves a trier. But he doesn't necessarily reward the trier, quite like the trier would like.
Also news this week, Collingwood have sent out a note to all their supporters saying, look, by the way, there's a process, if you feel like it, to include the club in your will if you want to leave some money behind for the club.
Bloody good show.
You reckon?
Why not? I think it's bang on. Are they, you know, if you've spent your a lot of time at the club, you've enjoyed the club, the environment has actually meant something to you. It's like when you leave some money to the SPCA. I love animals, you know. It's an option. They don't have to do it. So that fucks your argument, doesn't it?
No, well, I'm just asking your opinion. I'm not arguing with you.
You were suggesting that it was something a bit of a reach.
What do you think, Taylor?
There was a documentary I watched on Netflix, right? This, like, billionaire Italian woman. She passed away and left all her billions to her German shepherd. So when you first told us this, I was like, that's ridiculous. But then I was like, wait, you know what? Like Macca said, if that's what you love, then so be it.
Why somebody's she's been smited, hasn't she?
What's that mean?
Well, she's been, aggrieved by a family member.
Exactly,
leaving the money to a dog. I mean, how do you legally leave it to a dog as well?
You'd be filthy if you were supposed to inherit the money and then your parents have gone and given it to Collingwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think you can. I think if your folks have got, it's their free will. I mean, so you're basically waiting for your folks to die because you will therefore inherit the money. It's their choice. It's their life. They've given you the upbringing they've given you and should be bloody happy for it.
Well, it's your opinion.
Well, you know.
Oh, no, what are the public saying? Because, I'm not a Collingwood fan, so I try and I don't want that shit in my algorithm, so I try and avoid Collingwood at all costs. You know, me even saying that now, obviously my phone's listening to me, so I'm going to have to, I've gone back in time and the teeth are too straight to be anywhere near a Collingwood supporter.
Yeah. Good topic, Rick. he can pick him.
I was going through Instagram the other day, as I do, and found this new promo for the NRL season, which is about to kick off.
Reese, what the f***? You weak, gutted, fire! Where's lamb sauce? You weak, gutted dogs!
Gordon Ramsay, as you know him best.
What the f***? Get it to the winger! Shut it!
Goes inside Australia's biggest NRL clubs and tears them.
The guy's he had things on his nipples.
Unfiltered.
That tackle! Where's the f***ing defense?
He's looking thick too in the face.
That's so good.
Reese, what the f***? Did I say, use the disabled toilet?
That's genius, eh?
Like, good.
I don't know. But, you know, that's good use of AI.
So good.
You just asked me if it was AI. You weren't sure?
Before I had watched it, I didn't know what it was.
Who'd be renowned as being just vile, aggressive, angry people who could compete with Gordon Ramsay? He's owned that territory, hasn't he?
Yeah, Taylor. Like you are.
We'll do our own one.
Yeah, you need your own cooking show.
You guys want me to reenact that?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Taylor, Mark, hey, it's a sports show. Can we just segue back to sport? We've got the Winter Olympics. We've got the Canadian ice hockey who went down to the US. I've actually got Husey's jersey. I bought it when I was over in Vancouver a couple of months ago. He was the hero of the show, which is pretty cool. Myself and Peter Siddle went. And the reason why we got it is just because we saw Hughes and our late mate, Philip Hughes. So that was pretty cool to see that. But enough of the riffraff. We are a sports show. Come on, let's hurry up. Time is money.
We, you'll notice that we're actually quite warm in here. There's no air conditioning in the studio and it's like the hottest place in the world.
32 outside and it's 46 in here. Yeah. Let's be real.
That'll be fair. Yeah.
So it's really comfortable. So why not invite a guest in? Make the room warmer.
Use up the remaining oxygen.
Right, joining us now from the Australian ice hockey team. Wouldn't that be good to nice cold ice hockey rink just at the moment?
That's for sure.
Brian Funes. Welcome, Brian. Like a guest in the studio.
Yeah.
How did you manage it, Rick?
Yeah,
it's been like far out, working overs.
This is pretty legit. I like this.
Yeah, without the aircon.
Look, it's sauna. I'm not complaining though.
So, Brian, tell us about your ice hockey career. What?
Well, I think I started when I was about 5 years old. So my parents are actually from like South America. Dad's from Argentina, mom's from Chile. So I had no idea of what ice hockey was. I just saw it on TV and I was like, that.
Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. So like Mighty Ducks, some highlights on TV. So I was born in 91. So being a 90s Same. Baby, you know, yeah. Mighty Ducks was all the rage. And
so look, your folks being Argentine and Chilean, yeah. a little bit of conflict.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was definitely during soccer season. Yep. So yeah, you know, I'd try and ride the fence, but I usually sort of lent more to the Argentinian side. You know, they're a little bit more successful on the soccer side of things.
Anyway, back to ice hockey.
Yeah. I wanted to get to the bottom of who you know, claims the best beef.
Oh yeah. I mean, Argentina, no doubt.
Yeah.
So you play for the Australian team?
Yeah, so I've been playing for a few years now. I've been fortunate enough that this year I was selected again. So I'll be going to UAE of all places to play ice hockey.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're hosting and we're playing in Division 2A.
So how good is Australia? I mean, obviously New Zealand will be better.
actually, no, they're in the division below. Mm. Unfortunately for you, but we've always had their number when it came to ice hockey.
Yeah. Like other snow sports, as we've seen in the Olympics.
Yeah, look, we've had a pretty good run this year.
Have you noticed that Connor's got a bit of a nasty edge to him?
Season's on. Off season, we get a different guy.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of like the world stage, we're ranked around like 30th. So we're pretty like not down the bottom. We're kind of somewhere in the middle.
How far away from the Winter Olympics?
We'd have to win several tournaments to even get into that conversation. So we'd get towed. Yeah, it wouldn't even be funny to watch. It would be like, all right, stop, that's enough.
where do you play your domestic competition at?
So here in Sydney, it's Macquarie.
Figure skating has been quite magnificent at the Olympics.
Mm.
Oh,
amazing,
isn't it? Yeah. Oh, they're tremendous athletes. Like you know, obviously being in the ice rink, you get to see them train and practice. And we wear gear from head to toe. They wear nothing when they're doing those moves. And, you know, maybe when they're practicing, they have like crash pants, which is sort of like just a padded pair of shorts. Mm. But that's it. And they're just in, you know.
And there's just the intensity of, you know, speaking of Margot Robbie and the Wuthering Heights.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. And there's just an intensity with the jumpers.
There was a lot of ice skating in Wuthering Heights, which is, you know, that was
no. Well, I'm just saying, that, you know, it's a love story, but also, well, you know, when they're ice skating together as partner.
Can we talk about his sport that he's in?
Well, I thought we're going on a nice little angle there.
Are you going to bring it back to us?
Show the figure skaters some love too, because they're tremendous athletes.
Are you an angry man? Like, ice hockey seems to be a really angry sport. And, like, do you have that Latin volatility?
Yeah, I do. Mm. And it's good for that I play ice hockey because I kind of, like, let it all out on the ice. And then, you know, when I'm out in, you know, normal world, I can just be chill and just relax.
Have you got like a team goon, like the guy who goes in and like
the enforcer?
They're an A.
Yeah, like most teams have one guy where they sort of, you know, everyone kind of knows that's the guy that handles business.
So, who's the goon?
Gautier. He's a guy. He's a French Canadian guy. So he's been living here in Australia for a while. Built like a Greek statue. Like he's shredded or ripped up, bronze from head to toe.
I think
he's just an absolute mutant, that guy. But every team has one. Like every team has a guy that, you know, that can also play. It's not just that they just grab some guy from the street and, you know, like the movie Goon, it's not quite like that.
So when there's a fight, this is a bit that really interests me. When there's a fight, you're able to go for it until you go to the ground
Yeah. So within like the ice hockey culture, it's an unwritten rule. So you kind of know how the dance sort of goes. You essentially, anything happens, you know, sometimes it's a big hit. Sometimes they're targeting one of your key players who's a skill guy and isn't there to really throw hands. He's there to score goals. That's where the guy steps in and sort of takes care of business. Mm. And usually how that goes is it's very sort of, in a weird way, gentlemanly, where you ask the other guy, hey, do you want to go? That's usually the phrase, do you want to go? And they usually go like, yeah. And if not, then obviously that's when the chirps come and all that sort of other stuff. You don't want to jump the guy. Like, that's what we say. If you jump the guy, that means you drop your gloves and you just sort of like sucker punch him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then usually you just, you know, if you throw rights, you usually grab the jersey with the left hand. So you grab him by the far shoulder and then you start going bang, throw uppercuts.
Gladiators.
Yeah. And it's intense. It's a part of the game though.
In Italy, which is like barbaric.
Calcio historical.
Is that the soccer one where you run and you're fired?
They're just into it.
That's crazy.
They put a little bit of leather around their mitts sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wild sport.
Yeah.
There's a good there's actually a good documentary on it. I think it's called The Enforcers, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Unreal Doco.
Watch it if you haven't.
Really?
100%. Yeah, I haven't. It's on the basically the what would you call them? The goons.
Yeah.
Of hockey and how they like say Gretzky had one that followed him basically his whole career. Went to every time he got traded. Yeah. He got traded as well. And just basically was his bodyguard for his whole career. It's pretty unbelievable.
It's an incredibly fast sport. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a game like it, but it's so fast.
It's incredibly fast. You don't really get to appreciate it until you actually watch a game. TV doesn't really do it justice.
Mm.
There's a bit of a separation there. We don't really see how quick the puck moves or how the players move and how they sort of maneuver around on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do get a chance to watch a game live, even though, you know, it's not as good as the NHL, even if you watch the AIHL here in Australia, you'll be able to appreciate that speed and the skill.
There's goons in every sport, though. I mean, who's a goon in your side? Yeah, if it came down to it.
Oh.
Can't really say that, can he?
Well, yeah, there kind of is. You know, there's kind of guys who, you know,
it's positional.
Can take care of business. Yeah
I mean,
Steve Houghton.
Your front rowers are most likely the guys that would get after it, you know. My position, the hookers, they chirp a bit.
Yeah,
and probably got your front rowers to protect you.
Yeah.
We had a guy who was a prop.
Yeah,
when we were playing rugby union, I was like 19, and his nickname was the White Pointer. So if he gave you the point, you were fucked.
That was it.
And he'd do it in a club game, and he gave me the point once in a
because
I was giving him so much shit. And I got trapped at the bottom of a ruck with my arms in, and he just, you know, just saw his eyes light up, and he just came running. I just shut my eyes, and he gave me a kiss.
No way.
And from that moment, we were, he'd protect me in provincial games being filmed and stuff, and you'd be at the bottom of the ruck.
That's even more alpha. It's sort of like, I could have. Yeah. You're just like lamb for the slaughter, but by the grace of God or whatever higher power.
I've saved you.
He used to point at touch judges, and they'd look into the stand and one of the opposition. That's
back
in the day.
Yeah,
what a weapon.
You got to love that, though.
We had him on the show. He was on the show. He's a great
guy. Hello, have you got a question? Brian, you're just too hot to ask questions.
I can't think.
Yeah, you need to be in an ice rink right now, I think.
Yeah, I told you I'd be the next to go.
Of glaze on the top lap.
I told you I'd be the next to go.
I've actually got one for you. Yeah. It's funny, we were talking about ice hockey the other day, me and some of the boys, and talking about how, like, you see it a lot in the NHL. A lot of the guys, they just like lose teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of getting them fixed, they just rep.
Yeah, chip tooth here as well. Yeah.
What is it that actually chips you? Is it like people smashing you? Is it the puck? Is it
so,
sticks?
Yeah, some guys, it could just be a stick coming up and just clipping you. Mm. So that was my example here. That was out of practice. It was kind of silly how that happened.
Yeah.
I just like literally looked down at my mouth guard in the cuff of my glove. And then I realized I was next up on the drill. I'm like, all right, next drill, I'll just chuck it on real quick. And just sure enough, I went one way. The stick went right at, you know, teeth level, and that was it. Sometimes it's on a follow through for a shot. So some people just follow through or even come up for a stick lift and it just comes in and boom, just can take out your whole front row. And some guys, the worst one is when you actually like take a full on puck to the mouth. And now there was a guy famously, I'd say maybe like 15 years ago, Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
This was during the NHL playoffs and he's one of their key defensemen. And he got a puck to the mouth and he just chucked gauze in there and played the rest of the game. Like some of these guys are intense. Like they go through broken bones, you know, later on you find out after the finals are done or if they, you know, they crash out for whatever reason, you find out all the stuff that they were sort of carrying through the playoffs. And a lot of these guys are broken foot from blocking a shot, just taking a puck to the foot. You know, some guys had like fractured or broken ribs still playing. And this is a contact sport. So, like, you know, you're feeling it every single time.
Well, Buck Shelford you guys probably won't know about this, but one of the greatest All Black number eights, the hardest man. He was a captain. Team never lost when he was captain. Goes to France. Wow. And they reckon they were on steroids. Maybe, maybe not. But nonetheless, they rucked him in the quads.
Scrotum.
In the scrot. And it. And he went back in the changing room at halftime. It was after the game.
No, he actually didn't come off for it. He got knocked out as well afterward. Later in the game, he got knocked out, got taken off. and he just sat there with a cigarette in his mouth while the doctor stitched it up.
That's old school. Yeah. I love that.
No, but how did they notice that? Because it had opened it up and it was hanging out on a string. Oh. And only played the game with it, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right up there.
Yeah. Anyway, back to ice hockey.
Stuff of a legend.
So what's so you're off to UAE. Yeah. Who's the team to beat?
So how the tournaments work is that you get one team that gets promoted, one team gets relegated. So that's how everything shuffles around from throughout the tournament. So the team that came down would be Croatia. So they're going to be the number one ranked team.
Yep.
So yeah, they're quite good. They got a pretty legit squad. They got a lot of guys that play in really good high level European clubs. So most of them are professional. Whereas in Australia, you know, some guys are semi pro, some guys play overseas, some guys don't. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. Plus, we sort of play at a disadvantage because we're in the Southern Hemisphere. We've been in our off season. So we're, you know, some guys might have ice time where they can jump on. Some guys don't. Some guys are overseas, so they're okay. They come back, they're fit, they're ready to go. But, you know, we don't have any practices together. We don't have that much funding. So we kind of had just like a quick training camp right before the tournament. And then we just get stuck into the tournament.
Talking about off season, that's the name of your series.
Mm.
And we gave you a plug last week. Who's on this week?
Thank you, mate. Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. It was professional.
It was great. He's good. He's sometimes good at his job.
Occasionally.
Rowan Browning.
Who's Rowan?
One of Australia's fastest men. He ran 10.01 last year. So he was at the Olympics, the last two Olympics. The first one, he made the semi-final. Wow.
Sounds white too.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yep.
Sort of fairer complexioned who goes under 10 seconds.
Yeah, he's that close to sort of breaking it too. So got to spend a day with him. It was as soon as we started doing any drills, it was just amazing the spring he had, like straight away. Everything we did, he was 5 meters ahead of me.
Wow.
From just your high knees, your A skips, all this sort of stuff, his stride to my stride. It was pretty embarrassing, to be honest. I felt out of my depth the whole session.
I can't wait.
Who's the quickest guy in the NRL but do like 11?
Yeah, so Jason Saab did. He ran a track meet. He literally ran one the week that we were going to, and I think he ran. I can get it up.
Josh Adokar would be up there too, eh?
Yeah, I'd say he'd be close, but I reckon so Jason ran a 10.8.
Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, he would make me look like a little kid.
What's your 100 meters?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a long time since I ran one. I used to, like, at school, I'd actually race Rowan at school. Yeah. So I was in the Knox relay team and he was in the Trinity relay team. They pumped us. me being in a relay team, yeah. I mean, if it was like a 10-meter relay.
Are you like 11.5?
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
What were you, Mecca?
11.5 would be nice. He's
fucking chasing me, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I've worked that out.
The police dog up my ass.
But, yeah, we did a 50-meter race at the end.
Oh, okay.
And, you could probably work out what happened. He saw my techie, arms go down, he was nervous.
We've got the sport of social. We've got a couple of clips I just want to get your thoughts on. So the first one is we talked about Papua New Guinea Rugby League, and we've got a bit of footage of one of the games over there.
I saw this.
So nice smash in the face there, and then a
bang.
Yeah.
Boy.
Wonder if you got sin bin for that, or just let it go.
I'm not sure if there was a disciplinary hearing afterwards.
You know, like the amazing thing about PNG is, so they actually at the moment they're starting to develop the pathways because the PNG Chiefs are coming in. But prior to that, they didn't play proper competition until they were 16. So until these guys were 16, they were just playing games like on dirt and grass but you think about how good they actually are at it. Yeah. They've only been playing proper footy for like 2 years by the time they're playing Queensland Cup for the Hunters. It's amazing.
The Indians with the cricket. Like if there's a corridor that you can play cricket in, and they are just magnificent.
Well, and then there's something to celebrate for you, Taylor, the Italians. This is an Italian approach to soccer.
That's crazy. Can we get a translation from either of you two?
I don't know, what did he say?
Wasn't very happy.
Yeah, I'm not very happy.
Have you seen the guy who, there's quite a good clip, you know, you'll find it, where there's an old traditional, you know, Italian grandfather, and he's got like some prosciutto, and his son comes in and like cuts it, like, and he just, and he blows up.
Yeah.
Did he do it wrong?
He's not showing it respect.
Right?
That's kind of, you can see how they get there in a sporting environment.
And do you know who Michaela Shrifton is?
Can you spell it?
I can. Schiffrin.
After you just looked at the name there.
I don't know. I took a moment and I just said.
I mean, who watches that and goes, oh, tut tut.
Are you meant to rate those now?
No.
Isn't that the segment?
It was the school system.
Trying to get this group to.
Oh, was that? That's what that was about.
Yeah.
Should we watch it again?
No.
We flicked that segment?
No.
What were we meant to do there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Just watch them and comment on them.
It was funny.
Yeah, I got what I needed.
Okay.
I can get it edgy when you're a little bit warm.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
You?
You.
Aren't we rating?
Yeah, I was going to, but the vibe wasn't there.
I'm happy to rate them.
All right, give me a score out of 10 for the first one.
The first one.
Papua New Guinea.
Oh.
Bruh. I mean, it was, what were the categories again? Were
It's got to be real. It's got to be real. It's got to have skill. And it's got to be engaging as a sport.
Oh, okay. That's what that was.
So out of 10, what would you give that?
Just 10.
10.
Well, the tackler got a 10, but the other guy, maybe a fend. So, I love watching it, put it that way. I think it's pretty, I'd watch that again.
Taylor?
Yeah, and especially what Connor was saying, how they haven't even had like a junior league growing up. It's just now recent. So that's some skill, man. I'd say like a 9.
So a 9, a 10, and a...
A 10.
And a 10. And what do you think, Brian?
I'll give it a 10 as well. I think it's pretty impressive to, you know, play on a pitch like that and just go
off. So you just like the violence, basically.
Yeah, I think the more violent the better.
Of course the ice hockey players in
here. Yeah, all right. Here you go. What about this one? There's some more violence from Italy for you.
Oh, right. There,
so you already know I'm giving it a 10.
Yeah. Did that one person dodge it?
Yeah. I like that one where he kind of like, he didn't get a good enough piece of him, so he's like, I'm going to have another crack.
Well, that's what, yeah. What would you give? What score would you give that out of 10?
I mean, if that was my coach doing that to me, I'd just be ready to go for the next period. Yeah.
Look at how rattled they are. Okay. Yeah. That guy looks like he's about to cry.
I reckon we should drink Robinson with
that. Yeah. Soccer and, you know, the more contact sports.
Give me a score out of 10.
Oh, it's hard to rate it. I mean, it's real.
Not a lot of skill involved.
Yeah, he gives him a good hiding, Bart, so I'm going to give it a 7.
7.
You ever seen the clip of...
I'm going to zig a wee bit here. I'm going to give it a 0. That's common salt. Right,
I'm sorry to offend. Yeah, no.
Six guys. That's not
like I'm a cuddler and a hongy giver, not a puncher.
No, but you're...
That's not your coaching tactics? You wouldn't go for something like that?
No.
You'd be more of a coddler, wouldn't you?
One-on-one.
I think there's plenty of coaches that would have liked to have done that to you, though.
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah.
Taylor?
Yeah, the boys look pretty young too.
Yeah, it's
yeah, they not look like professional level. So I'd say 5, because there is not much skill in that
at all. I'm giving it a 10.
A 10?
Yeah, but
do you wish you could do that to us right now? Go on. We'll give you one. We'll give you one.
Walking in and actually letting go, it's important.
I feel like the... Respect to those young fellas for not one of them getting up and cracking him, eh?
Yeah. How would you react if Fred Robinson came in and slapped you across the face?
Yeah, you'd be pretty filthy, but I don't know if it'd be me that you'd have to worry about. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you
ascertain whether they're not his children?
Well, I'm guessing that they're probably in a team.
Yeah. Well,
based on the idea they're all wearing the same jerseys.
Yeah. Well, you.
In the changing room.
What age is the team? Like, what age them?
Look, let's go on to the next one. Winter Olympic great, one of the greatest skiers of all time.
So what did she win?
Just said
10.
Yeah.
10 from
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't contrived at all. It was just a natural.
I like the fact that she swore.
And then doubled down.
And then doubled down with her shirt. Brilliant. Yeah. That was a great effort. She's one of the greatest skiers of all time.
See that guy, cop.
Which guy?
Oh, that'd be, a little bit puerile, but it amused me. He was also in one of the slalom events. And if you get off cue, you know, bad things can happen. And something bad did happen.
Oh, he got impaled by the thing?
No, he got slapped in the nuts by the stick.
Did it buckle him?
But the sound that he made. It was a guttural.
Yeah,
a guttural howl, you know, the likes of which you don't often see. You know.
That's your abiding memory of the Winter Olympics.
Well, no, as I said, I think probably the ice skaters.
The ice skaters.
And the tenderness between the ice skaters was the endearing memory I would have, Rick.
And also the guy getting slapped in the balls.
Yeah.
Those are your two things. Yeah.
It's been pretty crazy, but watching the highlights of it.
Yeah.
Look, some of the things they're doing, half pipe, the how high they jump, incredible. Those big jumps, snowboarders as well, skiers.
And just before we go, I ran into Benji Marshall on the weekend, and great man, great human being. Really enjoyed Benji, and told me that
one of the best ever Kiwis, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he told me that
one of the greats,
Connor, in his lounge in his underpants. Is that true, Connor?
Oh no. Why would you bring this up?
Well, I just think.
Was that hot or something?
I just think.
Nah, it wasn't
he's
hot.
He's trying to take you down.
He's bringing me on his sinking ship.
Yeah.
He's grinder profiling. He's trying to get me on there.
No, I'm just asking him to explain himself. I didn't.
This is a professional environment. I'm HR department. I'm calling.
No.
Stand down.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good of you as well.
You said maybe you should ask that question.
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny. It was a few years ago. It's sort of like when I was off contract a little while ago and sort of didn't know what I was doing. So,
fuck, you're starting badly, mate. You end up in your undies in front of his wife, and
yeah,
the beginning to the
literally, yeah.
Yeah, I got no money. I had no contract. I was trying to find something to do.
I was down bad at the time. I had my knee at the time, and I went around to his house and met with him and a couple of the staff, and Chris Hyington's one of my good mates who I played with at Newcastle. He's one of his assistant coaches now as well. So went around there, and then their head physio was there, and he's like, mate, we're just chatting, footy chat, sort of, you know, what do you think? What are you for yourself and all this sort of stuff? And then they're like, we need to have a look at your knee. I was wearing jeans, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And I forgot.
Tight jeans.
Yeah. Nah, baggy, like your ones today. And I forgot that I was wearing tidy whities too. So I had all white Calvins on, bro. I didn't know that I was going to have to get in my undies.
This is big.
And then, so, because I'm in jeans, he's like, all right, mate, I need to look at your knees. So I got in my undies. And then we're all in the lounge room, and they're just like looking at, he's basically looking at my quad.
So just you're standing in his lounge in your undies?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then at the time, then his missus walks downstairs, and I'm just standing there in my tidy whities. Yeah.
Was it awkward?
Nah, it was funny. I mean, he kind of broke the ice straight away. He was like, what, you knew he was in his undies and you come down here? Got into her, and then, yeah, it's funny. Every time I see him, he always reminds me of it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Awesome.
All the best for the world champs.
Anytime.
And, look after your teeth.
If you managed to catch that Tigers game on the weekend, you were probably thinking the same thing I was when that young winger, 18 years old, 105 kgs, 6'3", scored that mean try. And I was like, that's some Jonah shit. But you know what? I stopped myself short of saying, he's the new Jonah Lomu. You know why? Because somebody's always the new somebody else, bro. How can they be the new somebody else when they haven't had a chance to be the original them? Remember when Latrell come along? Oh, he's the new Greg Inglis. Julian Savea must have got it the worst, bro, because he was a Hurricane number 11 and All Black number 11. He was the new Jonah. And then Caleb Clark got that mean try against Flemin Aussie, eh? And then he was the new Jonah Lomu. Just let them be the original thems. That's what I reckon. I mean, that's my head in.